whether one is purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all circumstances of life, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes purified from within and without. We chant this verse because it is not only the essential purpose of initiation, but it is the ultimate purpose of life. It is said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudicheti Koriye Udoi, that pure love for Krishna is within the heart of every living being. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. We are all eternal loving servants of the Lord. However, since time immemorial, we have forgotten our eternal identity. Covered by the cloud of the illusory energy, Maya, we have lived in darkness. What is that darkness? The darkness of ignorance. Not knowing who we are or our relationship with God. In that darkness, we have engaged in various materialistic activities due to this misconception that has bound us karmically to deeper and deeper regions of such ignorance. In such a condition, we are helpless. We are actually helpless. We have misused our free will and put ourselves in such a predicament. But Krishna is so kind. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. He descends to this world again and again in various forms, displays his eternal pastimes, speaks eternal scripture, and sends his beloved devotees to remind us of what will really bring auspicious life and happiness. Therefore we chant this beautiful prayer, Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. That we are in ignorance, we are in darkness. Unless one is willing to accept that fact, one is not receptive to the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is always coming upon all living beings. But how receptive are we? There must be humility, there must be a sense of submissiveness to receive. Bhagavad Gita teaches that principle. Arjuna was far more learned than anyone today, and he was exalted in every sense. When he thought he knew what was right for him, he was not receptive. Therefore, the Lord did not even speak. Krishna just patiently, silently listened to Arjuna. Until Arjuna came to the conclusion that he was in the darkness of ignorance, that he needed help, that was beyond himself. Karpanyado sopahata svabhava prichchamitvam dharma samudacheha yachtrayasya nishchitan bruhitan me shishyastiham sadimam tvam papanam. I am confused. I do not know what is to be done. I've lost all composure due to weakness. Now I am your disciple, Krishna. Please instruct me. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that in reality, one cannot actually approach a spiritual master unless one is in a frame of mind that we give up our faith in material life, that we really want something else. Not something more, something else. When we come to that conclusion, then we are in a state by which we can actually receive the mercy of Krishna flowing through the Guru Parampara. Therefore, Krishna taught all of us through his intimate devotee, Arjuna. Srila Prabhupada often said, initiation is not the goal. Initiation is the beginning of the path. Previous to committing ourselves, we are preparing to begin. The preparation is all important. Because if we are not properly prepared, we will not be in the proper state of mind to actually begin. But to initiate means to begin. At the time of initiation, we take vows. We make commitment. Why? It's so easy to just not go through the botheration of vows and commitments in life. Because materially, just to survive, we have so many commitments we have to take care of. Why take lifelong commitments? Because that's what it really means to be serious about your spiritual life. When we commit ourselves to the degree of the sincerity of our commitment, Krishna reciprocates through Guru and Vaishnavas to bestow their causeless mercy and strength into our hearts. So yes, it is very important. If there's anything that Prabhupada stressed so much, it's being sincere. He stressed that we should chant Hare Krishna, we should follow these four regulative principles with sincerity. Sincerity means without hypocrisy, without duplicity, with a genuine aspiration, or at least the genuine desire for that aspiration. Sincerity means we're not making a show. We're not doing it out of ritualistic superstition. We're not doing it simply because it's the tradition that we should follow for social purposes. Sincerity means from our heart, we want to follow. We want to learn. We want Krishna. And we're willing to honestly and earnestly follow the directions of Krishna coming through Parampara. Sincerity means willingness to sacrifice, because nothing great comes without sacrifice in this world. Sacrifice in the sense that we're willing to put aside our own desires, our own aspirations, to pursue the will of God. To take that risk, to make that commitment, and to live in that spirit of sacrifice is actually a joyful life. Because it's a life where we can feel experience in reality the divine grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna first spoke the Vedas to Lord Brahma at the very dawn of creation. And through disciplic succession, this spirit of self-surrender and devotion has been passed on. Brahma taught Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, he has countless disciples. Some of them that are more famous are Prahlad, Dhruva, Valmiki, Mukrari, the hunter. Such transformation. Valmiki and Mukrari were killers, robbers and hunters. In other words, their mentality was to exploit others for their own personal interests. And because they heard the truth through parampara, as Narada Muni spoke it, they were transformed. What was their character? Valmiki Muni became so gentle. He was living at Chitrakoot when Ram and Sita were banished to the forest with Lakshman. That was the first thing they did, is go to Valmiki Muni's ashram and worship him. He was so gentle, so humble, so learned. He simply lived for the welfare of others. And Mukrari, who was taking pleasure in seeing animals suffer, that's sense gratification in the mode of ignorance. That to feel power and control over others, it's very demoniac. We want to be God in various ways. Some people, they want to play God by having the power to make other people mentally and physically suffer. Many people have that tendency. But due to receiving the holy name from Narada Muni, Mukrari became so gentle, so kind, so respectful. He would not even intentionally cause the slightest mental or physical harm to an ant. He was willing to go way out of his way just to respect the rights, the happiness, and the God-given freedom of an insect. That is transformation. That is the purpose of initiation. Transformation. Transformation of our life, how we live. Transformation of our values, what we aspire for, what we hold sacred. Transformation of our heart. From material to spiritual. From a desire to enjoy to a desire to serve. Yes, Srila Prabhupada considered this all important. This transformation of the life. Srila Prabhupada emphasized character. We can talk all high things, philosophy, spiritual subject matters of the highest realms of consciousness. But Prabhupada said, without good character, all this talk of philosophy has very little value. When Prabhupada was asked by some newspaper reporters, how will we know who is your disciple? They are perfect ladies and gentlemen, was Prabhupada's answer. He meant not only in the material sense that these people could understand, but beyond. What kind of a perfect gentleman was Mukrari? What this really means, in essence, is Trinarapi Sunichena Taror Iva Sahishmana. Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Humility like grass. We should actually think about what this really means. We talk about it. We hear about it. But really contemplate how to apply this principle to our life. We want to be humble like a blade of grass, but as soon as someone just steps anywhere near us, we rebel. Why? Humility like a blade of grass. Krishna will test you, and he's watching from within. Tolerance like tree. Eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. That is the state of consciousness in which we could actually chant the holy names with real feeling. That is how we can chant constantly. So Narada Muni spoke to Vedavyas. Vedavyas compiled the Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures are the eternal word of God, not just time, place, and circumstance. It is transcendental to all the limitations of material existence. This pramana, or the evidence of the Vedas, is considered by all acharyas to be the most authoritative and complete of all evidence to understand the truth. And therefore, understanding God is not a matter of a person's speculations, imaginations, or even realizations. They have to be supported by the Vedas. So Vedavyasa, out of his causeless mercy, compiled the Vedas in writing. Previously they were spoken. Tadvijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchet. But the Vedas themselves tell, you cannot understand what is written without the guidance and training of Guru, the spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevada. Bhagavad Gita tells that we should approach in a submissive state of mind. The quality of a guru is he is simply repeating the message as it is without changing, and is living as an example of that. And the quality of a disciple is to inquire in a submissive state. We don't demand. We don't expect. We're humble. And then what we hear, we execute. That is seva. That is service. So when this combination is there, the proper guru and the proper disciple, then actual transformation begins to take place. So this is our parampara. Madhvacharya was so serious. He walked from South India, Udupi, all the way to the Himalayas, Badrikashram. And there he performed fasting, praying to the deity of Badrinath for days before he got the blessings to go to Adi Badri. Do you know where that is? No. No human can go there. It's way, way in the peaks of the Himalayas. Even jet planes can't find that place. And he walked there for days and days just through snow. Nothing, no life existed in those Himalayan peaks. That was how serious he was about sitting at the feet of his guru, Vedavyas. And he heard from him. And from Madhvacharya, this pure disciplic succession was passed down. And generations later, Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna himself, was to appear not only as the Yugavatar, but as Krishna who wanted to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love and to distribute that sweetness of Radharani's love through Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. Before he descended, he sent his intimate eternal associates from the spiritual world. One was Madhavendra Puri. He took initiation in disciplic succession of Sri Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And he exhibited the highest ecstasies of the love of Vrindavan in this world. He had many great disciples: Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Brahmananda Bharati. One of his disciples was Ishwarapuri. His special quality was his humility in his willingness to serve. Even when his Gurudev was in his last days on what we call deathbed, he was carefully cleaning his body with his own hands, with love and devotion, and always speaking the glories of Krishna. Because of this menial, sincere service, Madhavendra Puri blessed him with the benediction that he would experience the love of Krishna. Thus, the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted initiation from Ishwarapuri in such a way to teach us that whoever we are, however great we are, Krishna will actually be pleased with us when we become the humble servant of the servant of one of his servants in disciplic succession. Lord Chaitanya humbly served his guru. And it wasn't until his guru ordered him to spread the Krishna consciousness movement did he begin. He had many wonderful disciples, headed by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Jiva Goswami. These six Goswamis of Vrindavan, not only did they live the perfect example of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, but they revealed it to the world through the literatures they wrote. The disciple succession passed down. There was Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamanand Prabhu. And then later on, Narottam Das Thakur. And the next acharya today is appearance or disappearance? It is disappearance day of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. Very auspicious day to take these vows of commitment before Guru and Gauranga. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he was born in Orissa, it is said near the Balasore area of Remuna, where the Kirchor Gopinath temple is. And from his very early childhood, he had very, very deep attachment to understanding the truth. He left home at an early age and ultimately became a devotee in the Madhva Sampradaya, Tattvavadis. And there he became so very, very, very famous. He took sannyas. He moved to Puri of Lord Jagannath. And there he was preaching. And so many people were coming to hear from him. But in Puri, this great sannyasi met a Gaudiya Vaishnava, Radha Damodar Goswami, was a disciple of Nayananda, who was a disciple of coming in the line of Goridas Pandit, Hriday Chaitanya, and Rasikananda. Hearing the teachings of the six Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya, his heart was so much transformed that he actually surrendered to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Radha Damodar Goswami, he considered his guru, who sent him to Vrindavan to study Srimad Bhagavatam from the great Acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He became his dearest Shiksha disciple and very, very loving friend. And there is a famous story that in Galta near Jaipur, another Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, some of the pundits there were trying to convince the king that the worship of Radha Govinda and Radha Gopinath should be done by us, because Gaudiya Sampradaya is not bona fide. They have no proper commentary of Vedanta Sutra. So the king actually believed in the followers of Lord Chaitanya. So he sent a message to Vishwanath Chakravarti, said this is a serious matter. They want to take the rites of the deity worship away. So Vishwanath at that time was very old. He could not travel. So he sent Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who received all blessings. When he went to Jaipur, there was a debate. And he very excellently defended and defeated all opposition. But then the pundit said, you can speak whatever you want, but where is your Sampradaya's commentary of Vedanta Sutra? We cannot accept you as recognized without it. All the other acharyas have given. He said, Lord Chaitanya himself has told us that Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra by the author himself, Vedavyas. So all of our acharyas have made their commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. But they would not accept this. So he said, all right, within a few days I will have a commentary. These people couldn't, they never heard such words like this. Commentary of Vedanta Sutra's lifetime work. So he went to Govinda's temple, deity of Radha Govinda, Rupa Goswami, and he prayed to Govindaji from his heart, as your humble servant, please, please speak a commentary that will give proper dignity to the great acharyas of our Sampradaya. Govindaji spoke to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, that you write, and I will speak through your heart to write this commentary. Have no fear. In a very short time, he wrote a perfect Sanskrit commentary of Vedanta Sutra. He came back and presented it to the pundits of Sri Sampradaya in the presence of the king. They read it, and all decided, we want to become your disciples. Hare Krishna. So since that time, Rupa Goswami's deity has been worshipped by Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan wrote many wonderful books, and his life was a living example of renunciation, humility, and devotion. On this most auspicious day of his disappearance, we bow at his lotus feet. In the line of Baladeva Vidyabhushan, later on Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then our beloved Srila Prabhupada. When we accept initiation, we are not just accepting something from one person. We are accepting the mercy of Radha Krishna, coming through the disciplic succession of all these great acharyas. We are receiving the collective mercy of all these great acharyas to protect us, to guide us, and to lift us back to the spiritual world. The mercy is there, but how we receive it is how we will benefit. That is our free will. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada sacrificed so much. All of us know the stories of his preaching in his old age, the hardships he endured, and the incredible, unbelievable, unfathomable compassion that he offered to this world. Yes, he brought this Krishna consciousness movement outside the boundaries of India and spread it to all continents of the world. Simply incredible. He is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we are all united in reading his books and assisting with his mission. All Diksha Gurus, all Shiksha Gurus, all Bhartma Pradakshika Gurus, all Vaishnavas within ISKCON are meant to work together to fulfill Prabhupada's mission. Therefore, the prominence of Srila Prabhupada in all of our lives must be very carefully understood. It is the very sincere wish of all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who on his behalf are taking the service of initiating others into our sampradaya to understand Prabhupada's spirit. You should honor your Shiksha Gurus. You should honor the noble temple authorities who are presenting Prabhupada and engaging you in service in a very similar way to the way you respect your own guru. Because it is in serving them that you are serving your guru. You should understand that the Shiksha Gurus who are training you and teaching you are gurus in your life. Never underestimate them. Give them all honor and respect and please them through your services. Do not be sectarian. Understand that all devotees in ISKCON, we are all brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever, in a family system. There's respect, there's affection, and there's a lot, and we try to show our love and service to every Vaishnava. Why? Because that will please Prabhupada, and whatever pleases Prabhupada is what will please your gurus. It is very important. In this age of Kali, it is explained the only means of attaining ultimate perfection is through the chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya told Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur that his Gurudev gave him an instruction that he holds very sacred in his heart. Harinama harinam harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gathiranyata. That in the age of Kali it is only the holy name that can help us to attain the ultimate perfection of life. Krishna has descended within the sound of his name. We should put no priority above and beyond the chanting the holy names. Everything we do in life, we should do in such a way that Krishna will be pleased upon us when we chant his holy name. And that is why we must always guard against the 10 offenses. We note that the 10 offenses to the holy name are not just at the time we sit down to chant or dance and chant. We can commit the offenses to the holy name any time and every time of the day. Yes? So if we understand in relationship the 10 offenses to our chanting of kirtan, bhajan, and japa, we understand that our whole life is meant to facilitate proper chanting. Everyone, please, together, recite the 10 offenses to the holy names. If we live according to Trinarapi Suniche Na Toror Ivasahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, you will naturally commit no offenses. So strive for that. Blaspheming, criticizing, or demeaning Vaishnavas is the mad elephant offense. Very powerful. It can create havoc in our spiritual lives. So we must be very, very careful to guard against these offenses. Even very great, powerful souls we have seen. Rupa Kaviraj, living at Radhakund, it's the chief Vaishnava of Radhakund, preaching eloquently from the Shastras. Due to his offense to Krishna Priya Devi, a lady Vaishnavi, the daughter of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, not only did he fall down, but he got miserable disease and became a ghost. Hare Krishna. So even if you're learned, even if you're renounced, even if you're very advanced, if you offend Vaishnavas, there will be a reaction. So we must be very, very careful. No one is exempt. The mind will always give us justifications. But our intelligence must protect us. So please follow these teachings very, very carefully. And really sincerely take shelter of Krishna's holy names. When you can chant Krishna's name purely without offense, your life will be perfect. Everything in our life should lead us to that goal of calling out Krishna's name with love. Prabhupada told, like a baby crying for mother, in such a humble and helpless state, we should learn to chant Krishna's name. And we also take vow to follow four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Very important. Lord Chaitanya explains, even if we're chanting the holy name, if we commit these most fundamental sinful activities, it's like an elephant taking bath and throwing dirt all over him or herself. It counteracts whatever progress we make. The Shastras tell us you cannot transcend the modes of nature until we come to the mode of goodness. Therefore, we must be honest, we must be simple, and we must avoid these passionate and ignorant sinful activities. From the mode of goodness, when we chant the holy name, we could transcend the modes of nature. Therefore, the following of these principles is very important. Just today, I was listening to Srila Prabhupada, and he gave such simple instruction. He said, if you devotees just commit yourselves to chant at least 16 rounds every day and just follow these four regulative principles, wherever you go in the world, you will be able to change people's hearts and you will be respected as Vaishnavas. And factually, we see it's true. And what havoc it causes when we become lethargic in our chanting or inattentive in following the regulative principles. Maya is going to try in every possible way to deviate you from these simple commitments, because she knows once she deviates you, she has you. There's so many reasons to chant sincerely and attentively. I don't have time. I have family. I have business. I have studies. I have various athletic things that I should do to keep fit. And I don't want to be a fanatic. I have to enjoy life on some level or another. So yes, we put other priorities above chanting. And we're cheating ourselves. Sometimes we love to chant. Sometimes it's the last thing in the world we want to do. Have any of you ever had that experience? You'd rather read the newspaper than chant the holy names. Because news means something that's new. But this chanting I've been doing for so every day, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So many reasons, justifications. But why do we chant? Because it's the way we show our love for Krishna. It's the way we show our sincerity to Krishna, that I want to be purified. I want to be your devotee. I want to please you. Now, being, what do they call it in America, fair weather servant? It's not a very good servant at all. When you like it and it's favorable and everything's nice, that is not an expression of much love. When you have a responsibility of mother for child, it's not that she takes care of the child when she likes to. The test of love, the test of our sincerity to want love, is how we will do what pleases Krishna when Maya attacks in so many ways that there's every reason, every logical argument, every justification that the mind can create to not do it. I will do it anyway. That is sincerity. If you make Krishna and his name a priority, Krishna will reciprocate and make purifying your heart a priority. If you put Krishna off, then Krishna will, yes, all right. You want Maya? Here she is. So it is very important. How we chant the holy names is how we are expressing our willingness, our desire to please Krishna and to love Krishna. And if we see it that way, we will chant with enthusiasm, even if it is the very last thing in the entire universal creation that we want to do. We will do it. And actually, when it's like that, then you can show the most desire to love, the most sincerity. So whenever there is this block in your mind that prohibits you from wanting to chant the holy names attentively, you should actually see it in a positive way. This is an opportunity. Ultimately, Maya is serving Krishna. Ultimately, Advaita Acharya Prabhu said that all obstacles on the path of bhakti are servants of Krishna. The harder it is, the more I can express my love for Krishna. So please, take this chanting very, very seriously. That is what this initiation is about. To commit yourself to the chanting of the holy names. To commit yourself to Srila Prabhupada's mission, what it represents, and be an example. Be an example to glorify Srila Prabhupada through your life and Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Glorify all of our acharyas who are bestowing such unlimited mercy upon us. That commitment is what is taking place today. And to the degree you take it seriously, you will benefit. And to the degree we do not take it seriously, it's meaningless. There were devotees who came before Prabhupada and took vows of regulative principles and chanting holy names. And after some time, very short time, they just went back into their worldly lives. And Prabhupada said about some of those devotees, they were never initiated. Initiation is not just sitting at a fire and throwing some seeds. Initiation is not simply about coming up and speaking some words of vows. Initiation is the intent, the actual sincere intent of the heart to follow with dedication and commitment. And to the degree we have that, to that degree, the unlimited shower of Krishna's blessings will flow through Guru Parampara into our lives. That is the greatest fortune. Thank you very much. There are also some devotees taking second initiation. Srila Prabhupada took this very seriously. He was quite select who he gave second initiation to. When we begin to chant Gayatri Mantra, this Gayatri Mantra is very, very sacred. And it will be of great, great power to help boost you to higher and higher spiritual planes of consciousness. If we live according to the Brahminical standards that the scriptures teach. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam describes what are the qualities and how Brahman lives. But in essence, what it really means is to live for others. Traditionally, Brahmins had no property. They just taught spiritual knowledge to others. Yes? Today, it may not be so practical in this society to live physically like the ancient Brahmins. But the spirit we must follow in footsteps. Para upakar. The essence of a Brahmin's life is to live for the welfare of others. And the greatest of all welfare work is to enlighten people, to reconnect them to Krishna through the chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Sudra Kevinai, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. Simple instructions. Doesn't matter whether you're a Shudra or a Brahmin by birth. Doesn't matter if you're householder or living in the forest as sannyasi. Whoever you may be as far as your external circumstances, just live by the principles of humility and devotion, chant the holy names, and teach others how to love Krishna through your actions and your words. And in this way, be guru. So let us aspire for what is sacred, and not take very seriously all of the distractions that will come upon us in this world, all of the temptations and the aversions that the mind creates. Vyavashayatma kabodhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hinantasha budhayo vyavashayanam. If we really want to make proper advancement in this life, which is only a few years, Krishna tells, we must be resolute in purpose. Our aim must be one. The minds, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. And when Prabhupada read the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gained great inspiration and shared it with us. This means we should make the order of Guru, which is coming in parampara, as our life and soul. And what is the order? To chant the holy names of Krishna, to live a very pious and clean life of servitude, following the regulative principles, and actually aspiring, making our goal not to be great, but to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Practically, the greatest problems that disturb our society is false ego, lack of sincerity to chant God's names, and immorality. So we must follow these principles. We must aspire to be humble servant of the servant of the servant, and we must very, very sincerely chant Krishna's names. If we just do that, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our beloved Srila Prabhupada promised us that we will go back home, back to Godhead, in this very life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm very grateful to Malati Mataji for being here, one of the most intimate, loving, personal associates of Srila Prabhupada. We also have Narataki Mataji, one of those great, great Vaishnavis who have given her life and soul steadily, faithfully, without deviation, for over 30 years serving this great mission. And so many wonderful devotees. Nityananda Prabhu, beloved, trusted disciple of His Holiness Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, that merciful senior godbrother who bestowed such mercy upon me, who Prabhupada gave such immense responsibility to personally, year after year, and his good wife Manjulali Devi, Kostuba Prabhu, Krishna Loka. I really feel that Tamal Krishna Goswami is here blessing us through all of you today. Sunil Madhava Prabhu is here. Where is Sunil Madhava Prabhu? He was here this morning. Acha. Well, his heart is here. Representing Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And we have sitting at the Yajna today, Tapaswini Devi Dasi, who received second initiation, Gayatri Mantra, from His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj. Sridhar Maharaj, so dear to Prabhupada and so dear to all the devotees. His dedicated life, his wonderful personality, his incredible Krishna consciousness was a great source of inspiration for devotees all over the world. We're very, very honored to be rendering this service as the servant of Sridhar Maharaj.